Coming up, a new camera with interchangeable lenses, a little phone, a big phone, a watch that tells time, and more. And we're going to go camping with Padre. It's all next. Time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Before You Buy. A ding, 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 wing, 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 woo. Ball, woo. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Before You Buy time. That means time to get our gear together and show it off to the world. We've got all of our interesting new products along with our staff, and we're going to get their take on some of this stuff. Now, I don't know why. Padre, are you a big camper?
No.
Some reason.
Not at all.
You, Father Robert Ballister, host of This Week in Enterprise Tech, are reviewing the new BioLite camp stove.
Yeah, you know, normally I wouldn't do outdoors tech because you may have noticed I'm not a big, very big outdoors person.
I don't see you in a sleeping bag great outdoors.
But this is a camp stove with a super geek twist, which is why I thought it'd be perfect for Before You Buy.
Part furnace, part cooking tool, and part power generator. The BioLite camp stove is a 2-pound forced air biomass burning portable cooking stove with a thermopile twist. Wrapped in its own carrying case, the stove is comprised of two pieces, the combustion chamber and the power unit, the latter of which fits snugly into the former for easy packing. The combustion chamber is a double-walled steel cylinder surrounded by a honeycomb lattice that allows you to pick up the stove even when it's hot. It has three fold-up legs at the bottom of the unit to give the stove stability while in use. A large vent in the back allows air to be forced into the chamber to increase the efficiency of the burn, and a port at the top of the chamber is the entry point for the heat exchanger. The power unit is a high-impact plastic shell surrounding a heat exchanger and thermopile assembly, battery, and blower. The probe transfers heat from the combustion chamber to the thermopile, which generates electricity to run a fan that forces air into the combustion chamber, generating a hotter flame, which in turn can generate more power. The front of the power unit has a single button to turn the fan on and off, and a silicone-covered USB port that can give the internal battery an initial charge, and, well, that's the twist. The power unit attaches to the back of the combustion chamber and is held in place by a locking mechanism activated by the third support leg. Once assembled, the BioLite camp stove is a stable platform that can be used as a heat source or, with the included triangular cooking attachment, can support kettles, pans, and other cookware. BioLite also offers a 2.5-pound portable grill for those who want a more even heat source for grilling. Two foldable legs support the grill on top of the BioLite, and a closable flap allows for easy refueling. To use the BioLite camp stove, you loosely fill the combustion chamber with dry fuel, light, wait 10 seconds, then push the power button to activate the blower. The blower forces more air into the combustion chamber, which allows for a more complete, almost smokeless burn and a hotter flame. We used this flame to boil a liter of water in under 5 minutes, and the forced air combustion chamber meant that it was possible to burn biomass that doesn't easily burn, things like cherry pits and walnut shells. As the flame gets hotter, the heat exchanger generates more power, eventually generating more power than is required by the blower. Once this point is reached, the status light at the front of the unit turns green, which means it's now ready to provide that excess power to attached USB devices. To be sure, the excess power isn't a lot. It's rated for a max of 2 watts of 5-volt power. In 15 minutes of burning, I added perhaps 5% of charge to my phone, but it definitely provided USB-compatible charging. A more suitable setup would be to charge a small USB battery that could then be used to power your USB devices. Aside from the hotter flame and USB charging, the power unit adds one more advantage to the BioLite camp stove. At the end of the burn, the fan will continue to blow, burning all the embers down into cold ash, stopping automatically once it's safe. In fact, I was able to pour the ash out of the combustion chamber onto a paper plate with no fire, no embers, and no mess. In all, the BioLite Camp Stove is an innovative product that should appeal to outdoor enthusiasts, geeks in the wild, and those who just want one more power source in the event of the zombie apocalypse. The BioLite Camp Stove is available online and at outdoor stores for $130. The portable grill will add $60.
Hey, this might be the coolest thing I've ever seen. That is really amazing.
Yeah, and it's got a really good geek lineage because the company designed these things for African villages where you have people who are dying of waterborne diseases. So they wanted something that could use whatever fuel was available. So anything that even might normally be non-combustible and allow them.
Is that because it's hotter? So
it's hotter,
you,
right.
Once you get the going, you could throw cherry pits in there.
Exactly. So it's like a furnace.
They'll burn. Yeah.
Right. You know, you blow air back into a furnace and it gets hotter. So
it
creates a really hot, efficient burn
and very little ash. I saw.
Yeah, so you know, if you take this thing camping, you don't have to worry about making sure the fire is dead before we leave. It's once the fan stops, it's cold ash. Just dump it out.
And it's a generator, which I think is all in all, this is very cool. Now, did you say the price? How much was it?
Yeah, so it's about $130.
It's a little pricey.
Yeah. So,
what is a comparable? I'm not a camper. You're not a camper. What would a comparable camp stove cost?
What people are telling me, because I do have campers in my community, they're telling me that they would typically bring like a
Coleman or
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those are like $30 to $40.
Okay, so it's a little pricey.
It's a little pricey. Those are also lighter. This thing gets close to 2 pounds. Those setups are typically like a pound.
Okay. So, it wasn't really designed for backpacking.
No.
Going in country. It was really designed for a village.
Right. Right.
But I just think this is so neat. I really, really like it. The BioLite Camp Stove and USB charger. It's got so many, so innovative, so many interesting things around it. Now, you brought this to Brazil.
I did. Well, not this one. So they sent me a review unit. I was really excited. I brought it down to Brazil. I used it the entire time because I was actually living out in field. So I would just get whatever and put it in.
Well, so this is battle tested. You really, you were able to do it. And the thing is, you don't have to have special fuel. You don't have to go to a store. You can burn anything that's lying around.
Burn anything that's lying around. And once you get that initial flame, because remember, the fan is supported by the flame.
Right.
So once it's hot enough, the fan kicks in.
Almost like a perpetual motion
machine.
It is.
I know. I love it. And then it will burn things that you wouldn't normally be able to burn.
Right.
And it was great. You know, it made sure that I had clean drinking water the entire time. But on the flight back in security, they confiscated. They said, this probably has unburned hydrocarbons, so we can't let you bring
You're
it on the plane.
You're kidding me.
No, that was BS. I think they just wanted my stuff.
They wanted it. Yeah. I mean, you cleaned it out pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah. It cleans. I mean, you saw it. It burns out.
There's nothing left
really well. There's nothing left. You get scorched. You get a nice
patina. That's really a shame. But they got a free one, so that's nice.
There we go.
Nice for them. Well, I'm thrilled to see this. The BioLite Camp Stove, $130.
$130. And if you want to get this, so this is the grill.
Oh, this doesn't come. That's
no,
not included.
This is not included. This would be an additional $60.
Did you cook on it? Ever?
Yes. Actually, this very unit, so it cleans off really well. This very unit
brand new.
Is the source of much bacon.
You cook bacon on
I
this?
Bacon
nice
on
and crisp?
That. Oh, super crisp.
Wow. And then you pour the fat in there and that burns
well,
off.
No,
really. not a good idea.
Yeah.
Robert Ballister is the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech and Know How. You got a project this week you're working on?
We do. We are talking all about not losing your stuff. Different ways to track it.
How to not lose your stuff.
How to not lose your
Thursday
stuff.
Thursday on Know How. Robert, it's great to see you. And thanks for bringing this along. What an interesting product. Shannon Morse is here, our producer, Snubs. Hi. Shannon.
Hi,
host of ThreatWire on the Tech Feed, youtube.com/techfeed. And
you
have a phone from Sprint, the LG Optimus F3. What's unique about this?
Yeah, my first thoughts on this was, it's on Sprint. Yay.
Yeah. Well, here, Sprint in this neighborhood is not great.
It's not. And it was actually pretty good in my area where
good.
I live down in the Bay Area.
Right.
And it kind of looks like a little candy bar.
It's pretty.
It's small. It doesn't weigh much, which is definitely a plus for this guy. It's only 4 ounces. And it's decently thin. It's only 0.4 inches, and then it's about 4 inches tall, or 4.5 inches tall. So it's a very, very small phone. And this one does run 4.1.2 Jelly Bean. A little bit on the older side, but which is strange because this was a fairly new product as well. Now, the resolution on the screen is also a little bit on the small side, too. It's only 800 by 480 for the resolution. And it's a 4-inch IPS LCD screen. So it does have good viewing angles whenever I turn it to the side, as you can see on the camera.
This is iPhone 5 size.
Yeah, it's definitely comparable. I have an iPhone 5 here. Yeah. It's a little bit smaller. So it's very close to the iPhone 4.
Yeah,
it's definitely pretty close. It does get rather bright. I was very happy about that on the screen. One thing that concerned me about this, though, was the call quality. I made a couple of calls during meetings on Monday morning and, you know, hour-long calls. And although the service was fine in my area, it was very, very hard to hear people. And I think that had an issue with, you know, just how loud you can make the thing, because it was very quiet. And at times when I would talk, other people, they would just fall out. And I couldn't hear anything that they were saying if we talked over each other. So that's definitely a problem that I've run into with some phones, not every phone in the world. Couple of things about the specs, though. It does have a 1.2 gigahertz dual-core Qualcomm Snapdragon processor. So it does lag a little bit. It's a little bit slower. 1 gig of RAM, 4 gigs of ROM. You only have about 1.2 gigs of space actually on here for apps and files and whatnot. But on the back, and this is really hard to actually take out.
You can take out the battery. That's nice. I like that.
So you have a battery back here. It's a 2460 mAh battery.
That's pretty big for that size phone.
It's not bad. If you are running a video for like a really long time, you can get about 6 hours out of this. If you're just using it like an average user, you can get a full day with no problems. And then just, you know, charge it overnight and you're fine. It does have a micro SD card slot too. So you can add additional storage on here, up to 32 gigs. So the internal space of only 1.24 gigs, not a big issue if you're adding an extra micro SD card. Now, if I put this back together, still a tiny phone. Power key or the volume keys are over here. Power key is on the other side. Power button, and then your little charging port is down there. So nothing really extra with this phone. It's very average to me. As far as, you know, using it on a day-to-day use, I definitely liked my iPhone more and my Nexus 4. But if you're looking for something on a budget, this might be a good deal. Personally, it wasn't my favorite phone, though, just because it did have a couple of problems with the call quality. Also the camera, too. I'll show you a couple of photos that I took. So you'll notice that they're kind of grainy. Didn't look that great. And that's with a pretty decent lighting. That's in an office space.
Jeff always looks grainy. There's nothing you can do about
this
that.
This is the front camera. That's so there
selfie.
Is a front camera right
selfie
here.
Selfie cam.
Yeah, this is the selfie cam. Selfie cam is extremely bad.
It's terrible. Only,
yeah. And this back camera
It almost looks
five
like you're sticking your tongue out there.
Almost. Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. It's so weird. Even the coloring is off. It's terrible. Now, they did have this funny thing in here called Beautify.
Well, there's nothing you do with Brian. I think that's his
It takes away.
He does
like,
look a little like Greta Garbo.
All of his horrible zits and everything. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't
release
have
the Kraken. Wait, what?
Oh. No, that's the Uglify filter used on Padre there, yeah.
And it does have a couple of different options for making videos. You can do up to 1024 video. They have a low-res version, which is called MMS video that you can take. It looks horrible, and it's just for sending, you know, to your friends. And that was definitely not my calling.
No, that was the alarm I set on my watch a few minutes ago. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
And then I also made a 1024 video, which looked a lot better.
What do you mean 1024? It's 1024 by 768? That's the video resolution?
Yeah, it apparently that's what it says.
Wow. Well,
it
you
looks
know,
a lot
on an
800, better.
800 by 480 screen, I guess that's...
I know, it's
better
surprising.
Than you wow. So, well, but this is a free phone, essentially.
Yeah, it's a free phone. You can get it for free on contract. It's only $180 if you buy
off
it
contract.
By itself.
Oh,
off
all right.
Contract,
okay.
Which it is available off contract if you really
want to
buy it.
So this is a really inexpensive phone with decent capabilities.
It's very inexpensive, free on Sprint if you go with the contract. Personally, I didn't really like it. The camera was a big off for me. So my pros and cons for this, the pros, I like how lightweight it is. I like that it's inexpensive. But the cons on this as well, the call quality is not that great. Laggy processing speed, especially if you're running several apps at the same time, multiple applications, which you can do, but you definitely see a difference. And then the speaker on here is not that great as well. I had a YouTube video pulled up of Chad reviewing something for us. The speaker's on the back right here. So if you hold it like I do a lot of times, your hand covers it up.
You're holding it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jobs. It doesn't get loud.
That's the maximum?
Yeah, I can barely hear it.
Max.
Yeah, we're in the same room.
It's very, very quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Oh.
It's very tinny, but you know, most phones now.
In our Chromecast. Let's go ahead and open this.
Very tinny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't that great. So, all in all, I would have to give this a don't buy, you know, just because of those issues with the phone. I'd
Is there a free phone or a cheap phone that's better? Maybe the Nexus 4?
If you could get it. Free now?
No, it's not.
I don't think
you have
is.
To buy it, but it's not much more expensive.
Yeah, it's not that much more expensive. Yeah, I'd say cash out the little bit of extra money and purchase a phone that has all the details
better.
And all those qualities that you really like. So don't buy.
Do not buy. We're going to take a look at a camera in just a little bit and a watch, the Galaxy Gear. You see a lot of ads for it on NFL this Sunday. It was nothing but Galaxy Gear ads. We'll talk about that in a minute. But first, let's talk about the post office. You don't need to go to the post office anymore. I don't even know if there is anybody at the post office anymore. Is the post office? No, it's a separate entity. It's not shut down. But I'll tell you what, it would be a lot simpler in your business, I bet you, if you didn't have to send employees out to buy stamps or to mail stuff. Wouldn't it be cool if you could do it all at your desk? And I'm not talking an expensive postage meter. I'm talking stamps.com. There are 8 million small businesses out there, and so many of them are wasting time going to the post office for mailing and shipping. You got to do what we do here at the Brick House Studios. You got to get stamps.com. All the services of the post office right at your fingertips. You use your computer and your printer. No special inks, no postage meter to buy and print official U.S. postage for any size letter or package. You get that digital scale, that USB scale, so you never have to guess how much postage to put on something. You ever put too much on? I used to do it all the time routinely. So you don't want to have, you know, postage due to a client. Well, this way, you get exactly the right postage. They'll even suggest the right class of mail for something. And you get all sorts of discounts you don't get at the post office on priority mail and express mail. Stamps.com. Your mailings will look much more professional, too. You can put it right on the envelope with your company logo, return address. You could pull addresses from your QuickBooks, your address book. If you sell on eBay or Etsy or Amazon or PayPal, you'd be crazy not to be using this. It'll pull all the information right, even the if you're sending international. The international forms information, all from right there. You get discounted package insurance in just one click. Certified mail, return receipt, international customs forms, all filled out automatically. Try it. We got a special offer for you. Visit stamps.com. Click the microphone. Not that pretty lady, but click the microphone and type in before you buy, all one word, and you're going to get a $110 no-risk bonus offer. It includes the USB scale we just mentioned, $55 in free postage. And, of course, a 30-day trial of stamps.com. You got to try it today. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again with stamps.com. Tony Wang is, of course, our photography guy. And we gave him, I think this is a beautiful form factor for a camera. It's thin, it's light, but interchangeable lenses. But, you know, Tony knows. We're going to let Tony take a look at this brand-new Samsung camera, the NX2000. Mr. Wang?
I'm Tony Wang for 2L TV, and before you buy, and today I'm reviewing the Samsung NX2000 smart camera. The Samsung NX2000 is Samsung's offering for mirrorless interchangeable lens camera that offers a huge selection of lenses. The kit lens is a 20 to 50mm 3.5 to 5.6 aperture. Behind the lens on the Samsung NX2000 is a 20.3 megapixel APS-C sensor backed by a 3.7 inch touchscreen, and the camera is capable of shooting at 8 frames per second with an ISO of 25,600. The NX2000 is priced competitively at $549.99 with the kit lens. The camera comes in at a really, really slim weight of 228 grams, which is about half a pound with the battery and the kit lens. And what sets this camera apart from other mirrorless cameras is that it uses a micro SD memory card. So you can actually pop these cards out and put it into your Android smartphone and upload the pictures that way. But you don't have to, because the NX2000 comes with NFC pairing. And how that works, it's very, very simple. You tap the NFC side of the camera to the back of your NFC-enabled Android phone. And with the software installed on the phone, the two recognizes each other, and all you have to do is select which photo you want to transfer to your phone for uploading and sharing on your social network. And if you don't have your phone handy with you, you can actually put in your Wi-Fi connection hotspot password and have the photos backed up or uploaded to social networks directly, or even using Samsung's cloud service. And I've never had any Wi-Fi enabled camera that is able to connect so easily like the NX2000. And as we all know, Samsung, who's known for making their cell phones, have perfected the touchscreen. And this capacitive touchscreen is very easy to use. It's just big enough at 3.7 inches to display all the information you need while using the camera. As you can see, the camera has a pretty pronounced grip on the right, and that is actually a good thing. It makes the camera a little bit bigger, but at the same time, you can hold this with one hand with no problem, and you don't have to worry about touching the touchscreen by accident. The camera does feature one rotating dial for all your main feature, and you can actually push the dial forward to select the menu items. Another feature that I really enjoy using on this camera was the eye function button on the side of the barrel of the lens. You're able to toggle through aperture, shutter speed, ISO, and any other function that you would want to use. And you'll notice that the camera also comes with a hot shoe for attachments such as pop-up flash that activates when you pop it up. It just gives you just enough space between the lens and the flash so you don't have any shadow created by the lens. The image quality is great, and the ability to shoot at APS-C sensor size is a great thing to do in a compact camera like this. Now for the pros and cons of the NX2000. This camera has a huge selection of lenses to support the ecosystem. You got pancakes, you got primes, fast primes, you got super zooms, telephotos. It's an existing ecosystem that anybody who's getting into mirrorless photography can just jump into and will have no problem with lens selection. Charging over micro USB is one of the greatest things has ever happened to me in photography, and I don't know if I can go back use my EOS M, which I gotta pop the battery out and then put it in the charger and then plug it in the wall, when I can just take this camera with my portable battery pack on my mobile phone and plug it in and charge it. 8 frames per second is another pro that is awesome for shooting cats. If you have a cat, you need to shoot cats, 8 frames per second. The only con I have of the NX2000 is the placement of the autofocus assist light. It is very close to your index finger on the grip when you're holding the camera, so sometimes it gets blocked by your finger. So buy a try or don't buy for the Samsung NX2000 smart camera system. It is definitely a buy from me. If you're looking for a mirrorless camera that's easy to carry, versatile, has all the lenses that you ever need, and it's easy to use, and you can charge the camera while you're on the go, and you don't have to, if you're traveling, you don't have to go back to your hotel and plug it into the wall and pray that it doesn't short the fuse in the hotel, this is the camera for you. I'm Tony for Twitter.tv and Before You Buy, and this is the NX2000 by Samsung.
Really, dude? Cat pictures? Really?
Meow. Yeah. Meow.
Thank you. Tony Wang, editor-in-chief here at the Twit Network. So as probably a lot of you know, when the Galaxy Note came out, Tony introduced me to it. It was the first phablet I ever played with, a telephone that was a huge monster screen. Then the Note 2 came out. And in both cases, I was a big fan and used them as my day-to-day phone. And I've been very interested, as I'm sure many of you have. I could barely get that in the shot with the Galaxy Note 3. Well, it's here, and it is a monster in everywhere. Wait, except one. It's a little bit smaller, thinner, and narrower, even lighter than the Galaxy Note 2, but it packs a bigger screen, 5.7 inches, and really improves on the one thing I didn't like about the Galaxy Note 1 and 2. It is a 1080p display. We got a full HD display finally on this, and you can see it is a gorgeous display. Quad-core processor running at some insane 2.3 gigahertz or more. I can't even remember. It's big. It's fast. It's got 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of internal storage. Of course, you could put a micro SD card in as well. But, you know, one of the monsters on here, you peel off the back, is the battery. This is a 3,200 milliamp hour battery. I was able to go a day and a half and still be 75% charge on this phone. That's one of the real benefits of having a phone that's this big. You can have an equally large battery. The camera on the front is 2 megapixels. That's nice. The 13-megapixel real-facing camera is very much like the Galaxy S4. In fact, in many ways, this is just a Galaxy S4 on steroids with a big display. One thing that's kind of cool, it does have Android 4.3 on it, so it is very up-to-date. But a negative, it's still got the weird touch whiz. It just little things like having the apps drawer on the right-hand side or having 15 pages, it feels like, of settings. I mean, you could just go on and on looking at the settings. You know, I guess for some people that's a good thing. For me, it just means I can't figure out where these things are. It is not a Google Experience phone by any means. It is a Samsung TouchWiz phone. Having said that, I just love the specs on the Galaxy Note 3. And if you want a big phone, let me just show you what it looks like held up to my ear, because I'm not a small guy. I have a fairly large head. Go ahead and switch, because I don't want to scare Burke when I pull the phone. But it still looks, you know, kind of silly held up to you. That actually looks good.
That's okay.
That's not bad. Yeah. It's not the end of the world, is it? Just be aware of that. It is still small enough. In fact, because the physical form factor is a little bit smaller than the Note 2, it still fits right there in a breast pocket or a side pocket. This is an interesting touch that all the Note 3s have. We're looking at the AT&T model. All the specs are the same, by the way, across all four carriers. But it has this stitched pleather background in a couple of different colors. This is the black version. You know, I think in response, this is in response to, remember when the Verge talked about the Galaxy S4 and they said that it was, the back was so slick it felt slimy. I think this is for Josh Topolsky and company. This is just, there's no slime here. There's some texture in it. And it does feel pretty good in the hand. It's just a little strange to have actual stitching on a smartphone. Now, the other thing that, of course, made the Galaxy Notes great all along was the stylus. And it has the stylus, of course, and a lot of stylus-specific features. In fact, as soon as you pull the stylus out, you see it's got this new menu. Notice it has the floating stylus feature where I'm not actually touching the screen. That's handy because you can float over something and get more information about it. I can draw. I can keep memos with the stylus. You can do all the, you know. This is, that's really silly, isn't it? All right. I don't use a stylus, but if you're an artist or you like to do handwritten notes, this is a very nice feature. And I think it is one compelling feature a lot of people who buy the Galaxy Notes look for. So it's here. The S Pen is back with the little touch button and all that. In fact, I think if anything, they've improved on it. In fact, in every respect, I would say this is an improvement over the Galaxy Note 1 and 2. It's kind of a great phone. I loved the camera. I'll give you an example of the TouchWiz nonsense. I'll start the camera app, and immediately you see the problem. There's a golf mode in here. Now, I guess that's great if you're in golf, if you're a golfer, but this is Samsung just goes crazy with little features, weird features in the camera and everywhere else. It's definitely not. Look at that. Every time I take a picture, it says, look, with the Tag Buddy, I can keep track of the weather, location, the person, and the date of each picture as you're taking it. Never mind. I know, you know. That TouchWiz, it'd be great to get rid of it. You can. Cyanogen Mod already is available on the Galaxy Note 3. Maybe you like TouchWiz. I'm not a big fan. But overall, I got to say, this is a great phone. And if you're a fan of phablets, of giant phones, there are biggers. In fact, the new HTC One Max is 5.9 inches. It's even bigger than this. But this is well thought out. It's a mature product. This is not Samsung's first time to the giant phone rodeo. And I think they've done a very nice job. But definitely a buy if you're the kind of person who's looking for a big phone. Now, what makes it even more interesting is this companion item. Let me take this off. This is the Galaxy Gear Watch. The phone, by the way, $300 with a 2-year contract, $750, $800 off contract with 32 gigs of storage. That's the AT&T version there, $724 off contract. This is another $300, and this is the Galaxy Gear Watch. Now, right now, you have to use this with a Note 3. Samsung has said that as we update other of our phones like the Galaxy S4, to Android 4.3, they'll also work with it. This is a smartwatch. We've seen a lot of these smartwatches. before. It has some nice features. I'll give you a couple. First of all, it's very easy to pair it to the phone. It comes with this cradle. This is how you charge the Galaxy Gear Watch. And you get about a day on the charge. Charges very quickly in just an hour or so. See, it sits right in the cradle. Cradle snaps shut. And the cradle has a USB port on it to plug it into the wall. But the cradle also has another thing. It has an NFC chip in it. So when you want to pair your Note 3 to your Galaxy Gear Watch, you just tap it on here. The Note 3 now will download an application for the Galaxy Gear Watch. And you can use that application to configure the watch. Let me see if I can find it here. Here it is. The Gear Manager, it's called. To configure the watch, add apps, update the watch, and so forth. You see I connected to my Galaxy Gear here. And I can do these on the watch or on the phone. I can change the clock face on the watch, kind of like the Pebble watch. I can add additional apps. It comes with S-Voice, so I can literally talk to the watch. Here, I'll show you. Let's just set an alarm. What do you say? I'll tap the watch button twice as a button right here. Set alarm for 5 p.m. Now, it's going to use the phone, so it has to be Bluetooth paired to the phone to set that alarm. I'm going to download, by the way. It says download high-quality voice. Yes, please. That's something that I did not do yet. So now an alarm is set. It will go off on both the phone and the watch, and that's really important. The watch is really an interface to the phone. It's not a standalone device. Oh, it still thinks I'm... I mean, you want to hear it? Yes, yeah, save that alarm. The speaker's in here, right here like this, and it's not very good quality.
Okay, I saved your alarm for 5 p.m.
There you go. Nice looking OLED screen, by the way. I think you can see that. It's very crisp, easy to read. It's a touch screen, which means I can swipe back and forth. I can use it for, check through memos and so forth. This button brings me back home, just like on the phone. You can see other things I've installed. I can look through my contacts, look through my phone logs. That means missed calls, calls I've placed, so forth. I can see other apps. This is, by the way, Android, I think it's 4.1, which means you can install Android apps on here. Any Android app on here, although a lot of them will kind of not work very well because the screen is such a strange aspect ratio. It also has traditional settings, a pedometer, which ties again to the phone. So I guess I can see how many steps I've taken. Not very many, probably. And you can send it to S Health, which is the app that Samsung now ships with the Galaxy S4 and the Galaxy Note. My goals, so forth. Let's go back. Show some more things. This is the media controller. That means I can play, start music playing from the phone. And a gallery. Yes, that's another thing that's kind of interesting about this. It has a camera on it. Not a very good camera. Not as good as the Galaxy Note or S4 camera. But good enough, I could take surprise selfies. I snuck up on Shannon and took a picture of her.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Now, they're not by default.
I always have that kind of face on my... Oh, my God.
They're not by default sent to the phone, but I can send it to the phone if I want to with this little menu here. I think it's pretty cool. So I can delete it, transfer it. That'll send it over to the phone and via Bluetooth. So you can see, I mean, of all the smartwatches I've tried, this one is the easiest to configure. No trouble. Of course, you have to have a Note 3 to do that. It's the it has a lot of nice capabilities. I chose a watch face that has the time. Oh, it's 4:20. And has a little bit of weather on there, which is kind of handy. Notifications come through. They can ring or vibrate or both. You can dictate to the watch. It has its built-in microphone and speaker. You can record voice memos on the watch. It has a pretty good gallery. Look, I've seen a lot of these watches. This is easily the best one out there. And at $299, it's pretty much in the same ballpark as the Pebble and the I'm watch and the other watches that are out there. Beats a lot of them. So pros and cons. Well, great screen for sure. I like the camera. It's kind of handy. It's not a super convenient camera because it has to be on your wrist and, you know, they tried on NFL on Sunday. They tried to show Howie Long taking a selfie, and he had to do this. So it wasn't the easiest. I guess you can turn it around, but then the button's on the wrong side. The home button's on the wrong side. So you're going to have to reach around either to take selfies or to press the home button. By the way, the screen does rotate, so that's nice. It's handy. It'll go in either orientation. It's not a great camera, but that's a pro. Cons on this, it's a little pricey, $300. You probably really don't need it. That's the biggest con. It's cool, but come on, do you really need a watch when you can just pull the phone out of your pocket? I know wearables are the next best thing, and I'm a believer in the category, but I have yet to see anything that makes me go, wow, you gotta get this. Nevertheless, if you want to be the first to have a smartwatch, until Apple comes out with something better, I think this is the best of the breed. So I'm going to give this a try because I don't think most of you need a smartwatch. But if you say, no, I really want one, it's not bad looking. Oh, here's another negative. You can't replace the band. On some watches like the Pebble, you can use your own band. This band is integral because, of course, it has the camera. So it's integral to the watch. So you're stuck with the, you know, the plastic band. But I don't think that looks bad. Shannon, you think that looks bad on me?
It's all right.
It's a styling watch.
It might look a little big on my wrist.
It's not for girls.
No.
No. I don't think so. But, hey, you know, I don't think it's effort. It looks better than a lot of these, frankly. More capable than most. I'm going to give it a try. I think it's pretty darn good. I mean, definite buy for the Galaxy Note 3. Samsung, you know, they're making a variety of different products for a variety of different people. And if you're one of the people that wants a watch or a giant phone, maybe these are for you. That's it for this edition of Before You Buy. Thank you, Shannon Morse. Thank you, Padre, Tony Wang. Thank you, Brian Burnett, our producer. And thank you for watching. If you have a suggestion for something you'd like to see reviewed, byb@twit.tv is our email address. You can see each and every one of these reviews in snippet form on YouTube, so you can share it with friends, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. Or get the entire show. We've got it on demand, audio and video, at twit.tv/BYB on our YouTube channel and wherever podcasts are aggregated. In fact, subscribe. That way you'll get each and every episode. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Remember, you got to watch before you buy. Take care.